today on Tim and Sid. The Raptors turn up the heat for the home stretch.
The Oilers put the heat on the Bruins, but come up short.
And the heat is on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Period. Exclamation point.
You know what? I think the Leafs have room to make a mistake tonight. I'm sorry. Couldn't even get through that without laughing.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous Swag. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment.
Yeah.
It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
Is it an exclamation point or an exclamation mark?
What's the Google saying?
I put it in quickly because I realized I might have made a mistake. Looks like it's both, kind of.
There are some grammatical situations in life where you're right on either front.
The exclamation mark, also sometimes referred to as the exclamation point in American English, is a punctuation mark usually used after an interjection or exclamation to indicate strong feelings or high volume.
Well, here's what I go by, Tim. If it sounds right the way you use it,
by the way, I got
I'll
it
accept it.
Of Wikipedia. If it sounds
if
right.
If it sounds right, I'll
even
accept it.
Even if it's wrong?
Yes. Because there are grammatical things that take place in our world that just become normal, that are technically incorrect every time you say them.
Yeah. And I'm not.
But if they become the norm, I think you're fine.
Like, I know you're referring to something like Notre Dame. If you called Notre Dame Notre Dame,
yeah.
Which is what it's supposed to be, you'd look like an idiot.
Right.
However, I just think, like, and I'm not reacting to what Twitter says is right and wrong, but there are some things that are right and wrong.
Never do that with Twitter.
There's just some things that are right and wrong, even though they sound right to you. Just sometimes fun to discover.
Yes. But I'm going to defend you in this.
Okay?
Be a little hard on yourself. It's Thursday, February 20th.
As per usual.
I'm Sid Sixero. He's Tim McAuliffe. Well, listen, we're not the Leafs. So no one's harder on anyone but the Leafs right now. So you're fine.
Okay.
The Leafs wish the exclamation point was their only problem.
Well, this is need Tim to make an exclamation point tonight.
There you go, Timmy.
And an exclamation mark.
Live. They'll take either. Live on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, is where we are right now. No show in the country interacts with you on Twitter the way this show does. At Tim and Sid is how you can get a hold of us anytime.
Tim and Sid podcast also available for download. Heard it's doing well 24/7. You can also stream the show while on the go, courtesy of Sportsnet. Now available on all platforms is what we're trying to tell you is Tim and Sid. Coming up over the next 2 hours of what we hope is edutainment, we will discuss Connor McDavid.
Back on the ice.
The NBA.
Back on the court.
The Raptors.
Back tomorrow.
The Leafs.
Outside looking in.
The Jays.
First game this weekend. Blue Jays. This weekend. How old is it?
Sorry, I was doing the Blue Jays.
Yeah, Tim is doing the Blue Jays
seventh inning stretch. I just said
when
that.
When is it not cool to do that?
Do the Blue Jays seventh inning stretch that they created for themselves before they wanted to play Take Me Out to the Ballgame?
Correct.
Why didn't they just play Take Me Out to the Ballgame?
They play both.
No, now they do.
Yeah.
Back in the day on the Boulevard of Linden, they just did the Jays thing.
Because we're Canadian. That's how we roll. We're just going to take you out to the ballgame.
You mean like the Hal Johnson, Joanne McLeod participation? Okay. Blue Jays. Let's play ball.
I forgot about the joke.
When you're 7 years old, that thing is done. If you go down to the game and do that thing, and I'm all for participation. I'm all for getting up and moving. But you can just stretch. You don't got to do that thing where the girls smile and they're...
For those listening to this and not watching it, the expression on McAuliffe's face right now is as if he won Lotto Max.
I don't think there's anything more annoying to me than people fake smiling or any emotion. I've said this to you a number of times, have I not?
You're like, right. Welcome to Tim and Sid.
Any emotion.
Is it possible for me to play this Jay's theme and you not move?
Remarkable. I think he's gonna move. No, I'm not.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I could do it with the ease.
Okay. Well,
listen. I know I've pissed off J-Force. Okay.
Wait a second.
But I'm not that guy.
Is it still J-Force?
I think so.
It's still J-Force?
I think so.
Really? J-Force. I want in on one game this year. I want to join the J-Force.
Oh, people have done it. I think Ivanka Osmak did it.
She did it?
Yeah. And then at the end of it, this is what might exclude you from doing it with J-Force, but I'll nominate you if you want it. You have to run at the end off the field.
Okay, I'm out.
And they high-five people
I'm out.
With one hand on the hip.
I'm out. I'm not doing that.
This is the run, okay?
Yeah.
This is the run.
Yeah.
And on hip.
Tim McAuliffe doing a J-Force impression.
And then.
Wow. If that's not the Blue Jays, I don't know what is. You have that down pat, Jack.
Oh, I go to games, eh?
That's pretty good.
Sorry, I didn't do the fake smile.
What's the date when the kids run around the bases? I don't want to be there for that.
Junior Jays Day.
Is that Saturday?
They changed it to Sundays.
I'm not doing it. Either one. I'm not going.
Okay.
I got to be honest with you. The only time I get up when this plays, and those around like the early 40s, like my age, will know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You've been having a couple of beers for the first seven innings, and you got to pull.
Yeah, no.
You got to tug at some stuff.
Yeah, no.
Right?
I'm all for that.
It's just you got to.
It's a seventh inning stretch for a reason.
You got to stretch
out. I just don't need to do like a terrible dance. Like, I don't even know that. That's like a poor man's Macarena they do.
Were you a McLeod? Who were the two again? Joanna McLeod and
Hal Johnson.
Hal Johnson.
How dare you?
I screwed this up.
Sid Sixero.
I screwed this up. I'm sorry. Which one was your favorite?
Canadian legend.
Which one was your favorite?
Hal Johnson. Joanne McLeod.
Joanne McLeod was my favorite.
Teaching me how to stretch my fingers before I typed.
Was that a real one?
Oh, yeah, they did. Without a doubt.
They stretch your fingers?
Before typing, make sure that you stretch your fingers.
Yeah.
All you have to do is create the HOVA sign and then just stretch it. I'm making up that part.
No, that was Reese McGuire's favorite one, too.
What?
What? He's a catcher. He has to stretch his fingers.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, to put down the signs. I understand. Okay. Every once in a while, and I think we refer to it way too much, but someone will talk in our ears while we're doing the show, and it can be distracting and be very helpful at times. All I got in my ear after what you said was, we should really move it along.
We gotta go. Oh yeah. All right. I was just saying that Reese McGuire is a catcher in Major League Baseball.
Spring training games, Carlos Montoya.
Yes, Montoya and company. They're getting going this Saturday. 1 p.m. Eastern, Sportsnet 1 against the Yankees. Shai Davidi will join us from Dunedin this hour, Tim.
NBA, nice. This hour.
This hour.
He's supposed to join us later, but he's going to
change things around. He's going to join us this hour.
NBA All-Star break officially over. Six games on the schedule tonight. Raptors first game. Part of a four-game homestand to start the final 27 for them, or 28, 27, 26. I don't know. 27, I think, is what it is. Tomorrow, at home against Phoenix, Kenny the Jet Smith. He will join us next hour, as Sidney mentioned. And sports and hockey analyst Brian Burke drops by. We'll ask him if he does the Jays Force dance when he goes to Jays games. And we'll talk about the trade deadline. Connor McDavid making his way back to health. Mark Giordano making his way back to health. And, oh, yeah.
What are we missing? What are we
missing?
There
is that little thing about the Toronto Maple Leafs.
What are we missing here?
And the latest in the sky is falling.
Host the Penguins tonight.
In Toronto.
Second half. I thought you were going to jump in with another. You were going to jump in with another?
Finish the sentence.
It's going to be a cadence.
I finished the sentence. I'm sorry.
The Leafs didn't play well the other night.
Nope.
They got Pittsburgh again tonight. They got rolled 5-2 Tuesday evening. Leafs' third loss in four games. And with the Panthers winning last night, by the way, against the Ducks, Leafs woke up this morning technically out of a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. FYI, Panthers are taking on the Kings this evening. Kings are bad and trading away guys. Tim. Will things get worse for the Leafs tonight?
I've heard a lot of chatter about how big this game is, and some suggested it's not bigger or any bigger than any of the rest. Like, somehow this isn't different than what happened earlier this week. They're both against the Penguins. They're both important games. They're both games where you're fighting for a playoff spot. But this is different, and here's why it's different. Listen, the media can rip away at this team. The fans can rip away at this team and have absolutely no response from the team and be a little upset, and I completely understand it. However, when the team rips away at the team, darn right you want to see some sort of response, and you also want to see who provides the response. And if you haven't heard it over the last couple days, it's been loud and clear. The team is putting the pressure on the team.
Well, it looks like the process that we want to go through is to just get embarrassed.
We got to find the urgency, the passion, the, you know, the love of the game, the love to compete for each other. All that needs to come.
We just didn't respond very well at all when we faced some adversity. Our urgency just doesn't seem to be there.
We all know we have the skill, but we don't have the work ethic every single night and every single guy buying in. So.
As other teams have elevated, we obviously haven't. And I think that's just the message in this room that we need to elevate our play as a team.
All right, if it's a little PhD, if it's a little pride, hustle, desire, then maybe you can see that tonight from the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I'll even take moral victories so long as you see the work ethic, the hustle, the desire.
You'll take moral victories tonight?
I will take a moral victory tonight so long as you provide, and I am not for moral victories, so long as you provide, this is a good team, pride, hustle, desire. If it's more than that, then the team's in serious trouble. Why are you furring your eyebrows about the...
Because I've heard you talk about moral... I'm just stunned you said that. I've heard you talk moral victories a lot on this show, and I've agreed with a lot of what you said, that it's a bunch of malarkey. Moral victories, 9 times out of 10, do not exist in reality.
Correct. I'm saying that this is the 1 time out of 10 where you just want to see a team respond to the crap that they've been saying about themselves. Like, you don't think if they play with a lot of heart tonight and somehow lose a game 2-1, then you're okay with it?
No, because there's 21 games left, and that part's over of your season. It's about results now. Or you want to get in the playoffs or not? You got to get 2 points this evening. Yeah, period. End of discussion.
2 points would help, but I don't know if you know this. They can get 2 points in the next 20.
All I'm saying is I believe that portion of this schedule
I would tend to agree with that, but all you want to see if you're a Leaf fan tonight, and correct me if I'm wrong, Leaf fans, you can write in, is some heart, is some taking care of the little things, is some hustle, is some desire. Like, these are the things that you haven't seen from this team. And if you happen to lose a game 2-1 or 3-2 because a bounce went in, it's not the end of the world. Every time, I heard JT Miller say it yesterday of the Canucks.
This was after the game?
After the game last night, which they lost, picked up a point, lost.
Moral victory.
I thought you just said they didn't exist.
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Seems like 1 week you're on top of the world. The next week, you're in a panic a little bit. We have to find a way to stay even keel. We know we're a good hockey team. I heard that quote, and I was like, can you not apply that to the Toronto Maple Leafs? Except when you're applying it to the Toronto Maple Leafs, you've seen three different types of that this year from this team. Where you're up here,
right?
Because you just put in great work. Sheldon Keefe started 15-4-1, right?
Right.
Sheldon Keefe lasts a little while, 7-8-3.
Right.
Right? You've had this with the Leafs repeatedly. Going into the All-Star break, ass kicked. Come back from the All-Star break, 3 straight wins or whatever it was. Hey, everything's all right.
But they had to fire their...
Jack Campbell, everything's all right.
They had to fire their coach because they looked like this earlier in the season, right?
Correct. Absolutely correct.
That, to me, is the story. But that's the story.
But you're again, and I don't mean to stop you before you start because I know there's a lot of people that want you to just start.
Not that many.
You thought Mike Babcock was going to get fired at the end of last year.
Well, Mike Babcock should have been fired at the end of last year.
Okay, so... You're changing the timeline, but the idea is still the same.
Well, the Leafs changed it. I didn't change it. I knew that guy should have been fired at the end of last season.
He got fired this season,
right.
And that's proof because they played like this. He could have been fired last season. In fact, you thought he was going to get fired last season, and I sat here with you and said, might happen.
Because Kyle Dubas wouldn't say if he was coming back at the end of last season.
Correct.
So that's why I thought he was not coming back at the end of last season.
So as soon as they had the next lull, you and I both knew that Mike Babcock was gone.
It was... I've never seen writing on the wall like that.
Correct.
Like, it shocked no. The only reason they didn't fire him after the Pittsburgh game was Hall of Fame Monday night. That was the only reason.
Right. And what I'm saying about your point, the way they played got Mike Babcock fired. Well, the last year and a half got Mike Babcock fired.
True.
That's all.
Things did hit a zenith, though, around November 20th.
I like Zenith.
Right? Shout out
Zenith. Used to make TVs, too.
We got Zenith.
Yeah.
We got Body Break. Any other 80 reference we got to throw in here? Most important game of the Leafs season. Tonight. There is no question. If after all the talk, and you just ran back some of it, not from us, not from pundits, not from media guys, not from writers.
From them. This is the important part of this.
Jake Muzzin has a ring and is talking like that. If they don't come out tonight and get 2 points, I don't care how they look. If they don't get 2 points tonight.
No, but you were giving them, you kept giving them this credit while they are winning ugly and saying the 2 points are what's important. And I get it. But eventually that catches up to you. And if you play well and lose, sometimes that's more important than playing crappy and winning. Because this team does that well. You've seen it 100 times. The playing crappy and winning, you have seen before because they're front runners. Because when they score 3 goals early because they're offensively talented, it's hard to give that up. No matter how crappy you are defensively. And I almost didn't use the word crappy. That's why I believe the moral victory is important tonight.
I hear
tonight.
You. I just don't agree with it. I just think it's not about style points tonight. It is not about style points tonight.
It's absolutely about style
points. We will agree to disagree. Again, Brian Burke will be joining us a little later on here in studio.
They're playing a team that beat them 5-2 without Malkin in the lineup, 6-1 without Crosby in the lineup.
I forgot about Malkin. Hold on.
What are they going to do tonight?
Whose Malkin is going to be more important tonight? Dennis?
What?
Or Evgeny?
One's
Malkin.
Because
the Leafs have a Malkin, too, apparently.
Malkin.
Yeah. Oh, Dale Talon. Here you go, guys. We're fighting a playoff spot against you. Here's a player who's good. Go ahead. Well, they just got Trojan horsed. They don't even realize it. Give
Malkin, probable. Malkin going to play?
Both are going to play. Malkin is going to play. Yeah, Getty Malkin is
probable.
Probable.
He's in.
I read he's in. Ink? I could be wrong. I read he's in.
All right.
Put it down.
After Wednesday's games, just 3 points separates first through fifth in the Pacific Division. Shorthanded Oilers. Was this a moral victory? Remain on top of the division by picking up a 2-1 loss to a point in their 2-1 loss to the Bruins. Meanwhile, Canucks second in the division. They also picked up 1 point, 4-3 shootout loss to the Wild. So, Sid, whose moral victory was better last night? The Oilers and the Canucks?
I actually wrote this in my email today. After the conversation I just had with McAuliffe, I did acknowledge earlier today there were some moral victories last night.
No, but you can say that 9 times out of 10, moral victories do not exist in professional sports, correct. And I would agree with it.
And that's the only reason I looked at you like that with my furrowed brow.
Yeah.
Is in the past.
And when you furrow that thing, it
when
is furrow.
When I furrow, yeah. Look out. And I don't furrow like I used to. But I can furrow still at the age of 40. Any point the Oilers can pull off here with 97 not on the ice.
Yeah.
Against a team that came in Boston having won 9 of 10.
Yeah.
Anytime you can pull that point, I am down for the moral victory line for that hockey team. And Draisaitl was pointless, -2. Didn't do much last night. They needed it from some other sources. But I will give the moral victory to Edmonton over Vancouver last night. Although the end of that Vancouver game was pretty entertaining. It was a good game to watch.
Do you know why I like the moral victory of the Edmonton Oilers?
Why is that?
Because they weren't accepting it.
Yeah.
Did you hear Dave Tippett after?
I did. This is a good clip.
Go win games. You want to hear it?
I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Here's Dave Tippett.
We're a good team, too. We just won 2 games in a row. Why can't we keep winning, right? So it's a mindset. You got to go out and play. And some guys have been looking for more opportunity. Get that opportunity, jump in and play.
And it wasn't just Dave Tippett. Here's Darnell Nurse. We know we're capable of winning, so that was the only real goal. We're over the moral victories. We feel like we can win on nights like this. We just need a full 60. That has to be our approach next game. I love hearing that from the Oilers in a game where they were missing 6 regulars from their lineup. And if you calculate it all, it's, I don't know, around $30 million in the press box.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys not playing right now for them.
Right? Cassian, he's not hurt, but he's in the press box. 1.95. That was a lot of money and a lot of talent in the press box watching, and they gave one of, if not the best team in the National Hockey League, a good run.
Bruins have won 10 of 11. They are right up there. I still think they're coming out of the Eastern Conference. God love what Tampa's doing. God love what Ovi's doing in Washington, although he hasn't scored in five games. And Pittsburgh can't be discounted, right? That Pittsburgh team is still there.
By the way, the Toronto Maple Leafs, even if you make the playoffs, the first round is Boston won 10 of 11 mm-hmm. or Tampa won 11 in a row.
I think both teams are afraid of the Leafs.
Good news for the Edmonton Oilers. Also, Connor McDavid seen skating today. Just the visuals of seeing Connor McDavid skate has to warm the cockles of every Oiler fan's heart.
They're heading out for a road trip Saturday. They got two games in L.A. They got a game against the Vegas Golden Knights on that trip. This is nothing but good news, Tim. And, again, how he looks when he comes back is a different story altogether. Obviously, he'll be under the biggest of microscopes. He's the best player in the world. Edmonton needs him to be healthy to do anything come the postseason. But today's a good news day for the Oilers. Never mind the point last night. That was a really good point. Good news day for the Oilers that he is heading in the right direction.
He was flying out there. He looked good. You want to close this segment with a little breaking rumors at 6-0? I have in my hand a list of what we like to call breaking rumors from the National Hockey League as we are 4 days away from the trade deadline. Would you like to hear some of them?
Only if you promise me we'll run back the DeBrusque on DeBrusque interview from last night's Oilers broadcast later in the show. If you promise me that.
What we missed?
Done.
Done.
Breaking rumor it up. It's dramatic music for breaking rumors. Dramatic.
Breaking rumor number one. The Avs have injuries that have put them in an interesting spot. Looked at by many as a legit cup contender, Sid Sixero, they now have to peer down this deadline and wonder what's next. Mikko Rantanen, rest of the regular season. Philip Grubauer, injured Saturday stadium series. Nazem Kadri, Matt Calvert, all out. Both Mark Bergevin and Scott Mellenby have been in Colorado of late, are said to be interested in Ryan Graves. Thomas. And even Max Domi could work in Colorado with the injuries to Rantanen and Kadri. Could that be a fit?
Could all be a fit, Tim. But there's a road you didn't travel down.
Sorry?
There's a road that historically in NHL circles is very significant between the Montreal Canadiens and the Colorado Avalanche.
Okay.
Once upon a time, Patrick Waugh walked past his owner and told him to stick it. The next day, Patrick Waugh became a Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, no, he's doing it.
I propose to you.
Oh, no.
That, considering Philip Grubauer is hurt, considering your boy, Pavel Francouz, is probably not going to be that guy, despite good numbers this year.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Joe Sakic, why do you not ask Mark Bergevin?
Can you say it the way Bob Cole would say it if he had scored a goal in the Olympics?
I thought I just did. No,
no, I meant Mark Bergevin.
Oh, Mark Bergevin.
Thank you. That's what I was like.
It's not good. What say avec nous parlez le Molson de Carey Price? Translation. What is the cost for Jeff Molson to get Carey Price in an Avs uniform? I'm just throwing it out there.
It's probably Corey Crawford or Robin Leonard, right?
No.
If Stan Bowman's got to be on the phone with the Avs, right? And
well, the Rangers.
If Stan Bowman was on the phone,
the Rangers picked up a fourth goalie today or last night. They have to be on. The Rangers have to be on the line with the Avs. The Rangers have to be. They have four goalies. Insane.
I wouldn't disagree with that. If the Rangers or Stan Bowman were on the line, who would they be on the line with?
That's a good question.
Who's the GM in Colorado that they'd be on the line
with?
All
right, here we go. Joe Sakic.
By the way, speaking of Joe Thornton to Colorado has also surfaced. Is that intriguing?
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Imagine he gets his Ray Bourque Cup.
No, I know. It makes complete sense. Living in California is nice sometimes, though. Okay. I think Joe likes it. I don't know if Joe's hungry for that. I'm not saying he doesn't want that smoke. I'm sure he wants a ring, but I think he likes California also a great deal.
Okay, also out there, Wayne Simmonds keeps being tied to the Vancouver Canucks. Like or don't like?
Depends on the cost, but I like it.
Dustin Byfuglien.
They need some more forwards on that team. Yeah, I don't mind it.
Dustin Byfuglien could be traded by the Jets. Are you buying that one? That someone like maybe Joel Quenneville in Florida or his hometown Minnesota Wild could convince him to play again, and they trade for him, and that frees up the money?
I don't think he's healthy enough to play this year, so no, I don't think he gets dealt. That's the only way he gets dealt, if someone knows that they can add him before March 1st and he's playoff eligible. That's the only way.
Well, maybe in Florida, but with Minnesota, would they not just say, maybe we can convince him to play next year?
Oh, you need stash him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
LTIR doesn't cost you
a dime.
That's
a possibility. I was just thinking about this year.
Yeah.
It's definitely a long-term plan.
And a couple of different sources have suggested that the Sabres are in the hunt for a top six forward and would be willing to give up a defenseman. Sid, do you know any teams that have an abundance of top six skill-type forwards that might be looking for a defenseman to help solidify their back end?
I can't think of
one. No, I can't think of me either. Time for a break. When we come back, the NBA takes center stage.
Thank God. Welcome back, NBA.
We will look ahead to the second half for the Toronto Raptors and the rest of the league next, right here on Timothy and Sydney. Still can't think of a team? This is Tim and Sid on both TV and radio. Thank you for tuning in. We do appreciate it. I'm Tim McAuliffe. I sit beside Sid Sixero. In the opening segment, we were talking about body break and participation and the importance of physical fitness in this world.
That's how I live, man.
At body break, tweeted into the show, not verified, but seemingly, Sixero, very, very real, writes in and says, "Hey, Tim, let's challenge Sid to a race," and follows it up with "keep fit and have fun," which I believe was the tagline on every body break.
Let me tell you something, Hal. Let me tell you something, Joanne. I'm here every day.
Oh, snap.
That dirty sidewalk that they made me run years ago hasn't changed. In fact, it's got dirtier. Got some urine on it.
This could be a Budweiser lay it on the line, Sixero. Are you ready to lay it on the line? I got a bum quad.
Oh, he's got a bum quad.
He's got a bum quad. How old is Hal Johnson at this point?
He's a solid 38 years old.
I believe he's a little older than us. If Hal Johnson and or Joanne McLeod raced you, would that be acceptable?
Only if someone could follow us the entire race, just saying, "Body break."
I'll do it.
That's your role.
I can't run right now, but I will do it. I'll yell it. I'll sing it the entire time.
It would be an honor.
And if you wait long enough,
it would be an honor.
I'll join the race.
Okay.
However, I can't do it right now.
No, obviously.
I just called into my Q League men's hockey.
Okay.
And said that I could not play.
Are you playing soccer with those bums you play with on Thursday nights? Come on.
Tuesday nights.
Whatever. Tuesday nights. Bunch of hacks. And unbelievable. Guys can't use 2 feet. What the hell are you doing out there?
Okay.
McAuliffe's on his own there.
You know,
he's like Freddie Anderson in net.
You know you're going to come out and play after having said that.
Because
all the
body
guys
break.
There, all the Portuguese, they say, "Where's Sixero?" I say, "Whatever. Sitting on his couch with a bag of chips." And then they say, "Well, why don't you bring him out one day?" And I say, "Because he's kind of fat and lazy." And they say, "Well, you should bring him out one day."
Do you know McAuliffe walks in every Wednesday after playing soccer?
Oh, you're going to lie now.
With you degenerates. You guys play zero defense for this guy. This man is pushing 50.
He walks into this building. Now he's lying.
He's limping on the right side. His left shoulder is hanging on by scotch tape.
That's because I'm old.
And so are they. Everyone talks a big game. Give him some help one night on a Tuesday night, and don't treat him like some relegated English team.
Earlier this week, I said, "Sid, don't ever trash talk those guys again." And what he just did was the response to me saying, "Don't trash talk."
Hey, knock, knock. Who's there? It's Tim's pickup team on Tuesday nights, and you suck. All of you.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Sixero's going to be forced to come out to Stouffville on a Tuesday night.
More stretching, less chips. Okay? More stretching, less chips. Help him out.
The NBA is on. Are you going to race Hal Johnson?
It would be an honor to whip everyone's butt at racing.
Oh my goodness.
It would be an honor to race the body break.
We are gonna lay it on the line.
Body break.
The NBA's unofficial second half gets going tonight. Really, it's the final third, but whatever. It's an all-star break. You know what I'm talking about. Less than 30 games left for each team. So with that, we thought we would take a closer look at the Raptors and the NBA with some big questions. Let's start with the Raptors.
I thought there was an opening coming. Okay, there we go.
Three big questions. See that? Opening.
Sorry, I'm more distracted by this awful music.
We got music.
So what the hell is this?
This is Urban Tracks Volume 5.
Basketball. Playing basketball with the Nets. Defense, offense.
Urban Tracks is almost as good as dope joints.
All right. Okay, please cut this for now. Don't play another. I don't want to hear another one. Maybe I'll hear another one next question. Go ahead, Tim. That was bad.
Question number one for the three questions surrounding the Toronto Raptors. How important is the two seed in Toronto?
The two seed? Pretty important. You know, like, look, the Bucks, in my opinion, they're not going to have that kind of slide. Unless Giannis has gone for 3 weeks for something, yeah. which no real basketball fan wants. But unless Giannis gets hurt, the Bucks are not going to make this kind of dip in their form. They've been unbelievable all year. Again, they're 46-8, guys. 46-8. So I think the Raptors need to be content with second. If they want to make a run, go ahead. I don't know if they have another 15-game run in them, the Raptors. But I think second is important, holding off Boston, holding off Miami. It's still a top-heavy East. You can get a nice first-round draw. You can beat Brooklyn. You can beat Orlando. It doesn't matter who they get. So second is very, very important to answer your question, Tim.
Yeah, because it's Indiana or Philadelphia right now in that spot, and they're 1-1 versus Indiana. They're 2-1 versus Philly, 3-0 versus both of those teams. So I agree with you. I think it's big.
And with that said, three more games this season between the Bucks and the Raptors. So it's not like it is completely impossible, but highly unlikely. All right, can we get some different...
One or two is important, though.
One or two is important.
Yeah,
I agree on that.
Okay.
Can we get some different music for the next question? Let's try this.
Oh, you got some scratching there.
For the love of God.
This has got to be Dope Tracks 4.
It's all the same.
I feel like my street cred is taking a hit just by playing this music.
My street cred took a hit on the show a while ago. All right, kill it. This is ridiculous. No, don't give me rock. Just stop playing music that sucks. Next question. Other than Giannis and the Bucks, who is the biggest threat to the Raptors' NBA Finals hopes, Timmy?
By the way, I'm glad you pointed out the Bucks' record because I don't think people are giving them enough credit right now. Like, I know the record is ridiculous, but they're also the best defensive team in the NBA and the third best offensive team in the NBA. But outside of them, everyone else has fatal flaws. Fatal, and I'm talking about the Los Angeles Lakers, I'm talking about the Los Angeles Clippers, I'm talking about everybody. But if you were to force me to pick one in the Eastern Conference, I would go with the Celtics because they're finding it. And lost in the Raptors' 15-game losing streak was the fact that the Celtics finished 8-1 or 11-2, depending on how you look at it, going into their All-Star break. They're top five in both offense and defense in the league. Only three teams can say that this year. Lakers, Bucks, and Celtics. And they're big five. They're five best players. Tatum, Hayward, Brown, Walker, Smart have only been active together for 16 of their 54 games this year. I think the biggest question mark outside of the Bucks when it comes to the Toronto Raptors is the Boston Celtics.
I'm going to lean Miami. Just because I do like what they did.
I love Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler, but I don't know. They've never been there before.
There's something about Jimmy the way Bam plays. There's something. They're picking up Jay Crowder, picking up Andre Iguodala.
Yeah.
I really like them. I probably like Miami more than I should, but I do. And I don't. And I know in my heart Boston's a better team. Like, I know this. But damn, on paper, Miami, they're hitting all the right notes. They can do some damage. It's not like Eric Spoelstra doesn't know how to coach in the postseason.
Right.
You know what I mean? And a guy who also doesn't get the credit he probably deserves. I know we had that LeBron guy with the D-Wade guy and the Chris Bosh guy.
Right.
So, anyway, I'm going to put Miami there, but begrudgingly put Miami there.
Speaking of hitting the right note, do you want to try one more song?
Let's go 0-for-3 on this. Yeah,
right,
sure.
Why not? Here we go. Yeah, just stop.
Yeah, nine-inch nails, sure.
All right. Who
nine
is
inch nails for the NBA. That makes sense.
Third question for the Raptors. Who is the most important Raptor come playoff time?
To me, it's the guy who might not be back till next week. We found out today from Nick Nurse. It's Marc Gasol.
Oh, yeah?
They're going to rest the hammy for at least a little while. They thought he'd play tomorrow night against Phoenix. Look, Marc Gasol, you got Joel Embiid's in this conference. You have Giannis in this conference. You have some bigs who matter in this conference. Marc Gasol, regardless of what he shoots at any point, and I hope Raptor fans by now know the drill with Marc Gasol, he is vital in a seven-game series against some of these bigs that you need to get through. And if he is not that same guy, irrelevant of what he's doing at the offensive end, defensively, he disrupts a ton, and they need him. Call me crazy. If Marc Gasol this year isn't the Marc Gasol of last year in the postseason, they're out in the second round.
I think it's load management for Marc Gasol. That's not my answer.
No,
is load management for Marc Gasol.
I think it's a smart thing. Yeah, I'm not saying it isn't, but come April, they need them some Marc Gasol.
Not just three big questions. We have one more for you. What would make this season a success? Because that, to me, is remarkably intriguing. And I say that way too often. It's one of my crutches. Remarkably intriguing. Is it winning a round? Is it making the conference final? Do they need to win the East? Like, what is a success after losing Kawhi Leonard and having this many injuries all season long?
What I thought a success would be before the year, or what I think it is now? The context of today or the context of before opening night?
I don't know, but dude, you're getting a Dell.
I thought the whole system crashed there. It was a shout-out Dell. I'd be disappointed if at this stage of the game, the Raptors aren't in the Eastern Conference Final.
You realize that wasn't asking you, right?
Oh, sorry. I misread that whole situation.
I was asking the fans and the people and getting them involved
for the record,
in interacting and stuff.
No,
like
what,
body break
what
did
you
with
do,
us.
But for the record, I care about my opinion more than the audience's. Just so we're clear.
Let's play it out then, Sixero. What would make this season a success? When I say let's play it out, I'm not Bill O'Reilly. I know what it means. Play the bleeping music.
Yeah. I think it was a mistake to call for this music, too. Do we have any good
music
in the
building? What would make this season a success? Yes, we do. We have lots of good music. I mean, I have connects that would give us better than this.
I don't doubt it. Can we ask Kenneth Smith that question?
What?
What did you just ask?
The one we just asked
about
success.
We'll ask him a little later. Shai Davidi's next. But can we ask him?
We can ask him, too.
Okay, good.
And the fans.
You have way better beats. I know you have better beats.
This is Tim and Sid. Thank you for joining us here on this Thursday, February the 20th, 2020. A body break writing back into the show. You ready for this?
They didn't write back to the show.
Hal wrote back. Joanne said she would race Sid after she finishes her Ironman race, if you're up to it. And she's not usually a trash talker. Signed, Hal. Chris followed it up with, if Sid races Hal or Joanne, his body will break. And the hashtag after, chicken fingers are for life.
So the race will be sponsored by Mary Brown's?
Nah, maybe.
For Ironman race, first off, that don't impress me much.
What?
Let me tell you something.
Wait. Hold on. Explain this to me.
Okay, first off, you're running. Congratulations.
Yep.
Anyone can do that. Two.
Do you?
That's not the point. Two.
Okay, two.
Two.
Two, yeah, sorry.
Riding a bike. What are we, nine? Really? We're gonna be proud of that? Really? Okay. Do you want a tricycle, too? Do you want to do that? Huh?
Yeah. What's three?
Three.
Can't wait for three after two.
Three.
Yeah.
Swimming's impressive. I'm going to never swim. Swimming's pretty. Considering I can swim for survival, not for pleasure.
Well, we've already established this. You have a pool and you don't swim.
I bought
a house with a pool and doesn't swim.
I was watching Titanic the other night.
Plus, if you race, you'd have to shave, so that would be a problem.
Aerodynamics. Shai Davidi joining us from Dunedin. Shai, how you doing?
Well, I'm not sure what I've just jumped into here. But.
Shai, hold on. Don't do that. It's a typical Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan interview. The Body Break crew have challenged me to an Ironman race. Yeah, is
Hal
basically
Johnson
where we're at.
And Joanne McLeod.
And I'm going through the ins and outs of what I can beat Joanne McLeod at. and now we're bringing you on. So what's your take on this?
Wait, they think that you could do all three parts of that?
No.
No, we're just spitballing here. We're maybe I'm going to do it. Maybe
it into that. They just wanted the running part. Sid's turned it into everything, and he'd get his ass whooped in all of it. Like, so I don't know why he's thinking this way.
Like, go ahead.
I mean, you're not even doing the running part. Like, who are we kidding, right?
So you don't think I could do any of the three Iron Man components?
No.
I could run.
Like completing it, though?
In a reasonable fashion?
Like, not like, you know, you, like, lollygag your way through the running portion. You kind of, like, walk the last several kilometers. Like, actually running from start to finish?
Your lack of support here is shocking.
You realize that the running part of an Ironman is a marathon.
I'll do some HGH and I'll be fine. Like, there's no testing off this.
Look, Sid, I got your back on, like, Well Done Steaks. I'm Team Well Done Steaks with you, but this I can't support you on that. You know, this is not. I mean, this isn't a real conversation. I mean, just shut it down. Say with respect for being able to do the triathlon. You know, this is not my thing. Like, move on to another conversation.
I just got destroyed by
you. Just hang up on.
Oh no, Shai's there. Shai, continue to rip me to shreds.
I thought you hit the dump button on him.
All right. All right. We'll continue this conversation maybe in the next week. We'll see what Berkey has to say on this.
We have a title up in studio that says 5 weeks to opening day. What's the biggest story that nobody is really talking about right now, 5 weeks to opening day in Dunedin, Florida?
Oof. I mean, we've been here for what feels like 2 months already. I think we've parsed over all the key things. You know, if I'm looking at it right now, I'm not sure how this team's going to consistently get the ball to Ken Giles in the ninth inning. And I know they've got some options, and Rafael Dolis, who's coming back from Japan, is an interesting power arm, and Anthony Bass, who they picked up on waivers from the Mariners, is an interesting power arm. But there's really not any sort of established path for the Blue Jays to protect the late lead and get the ball to Ken Giles' hand in the ninth inning. And you know, I mean, everybody kind of knew they needed some bullpen help, but if you actually start breaking it down and thinking about what Charlie Montoyo has to work with, I think it's going to be, the way it looks right now, it's got a pretty good chance of being pretty dicey, getting the ball, you know, from the starter, getting a lead from the starter's hand into Ken Giles' hand.
Shai Davidi, not supportive in any which way here on Tim and Sid today. Shai, before... We've used a chunk of our time talking about my general fitness. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., it appears, will start the season. Now, it's not where I'm going. Don't jump my segue.
Right, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, Charlie Montoyo today, as Shai knows, talked about hitting cleanup this year in Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Okay. So, my main point is, does he have the fitness, though, to finish the year? Because I think hitting cleanup makes a lot of sense, especially the 20 games he finished the year in that slot. He was pretty good. Where do you think he finishes the year, though, position-wise, Shai? Is he destined for first? We don't know what Travis Shaw is going to be. Is he destined for some DH time? I know he starts in the field. Where do you think he ends 2020?
I think we're really too early to answer that in a meaningful way. Based on the work that he's done and the conversations I've had with people about the work that he's done, you know, the Blue Jays are intent on giving him a chance to exhausting him at third base, essentially, before they sort of make a move away from that. But people are more optimistic about his ability to stay on the bag or stay at third base through the end of this season than they might have been beforehand. And look, once we get into the season and the daily grind and, you know, everything, he's being beaten up and he's on the turf and all that stuff, ultimately then we'll get a truer sense. And, you know, they've got a pretty good defender at third base in Travis Shaw, who's going to be across the diamond at first, all things being equal. But, you know, if you're the Blue Jays right now, there's too much incentive on you playing out Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at third base and seeing whether or not he can stick there for a couple seasons before you move him across the diamond, because there's just more value in the player if he's a third baseman than if he's a first baseman. But ultimately, you know, his defense isn't what's going to keep him in the big leagues, right? It's the bat. And if it gets to the point where, you know, the defensive issues or whatever, the defensive toll is taking away from the offense, then, you know, that's when I think you have to make the move.
Shai Davidi joining us from Dunedin. Shai, we obviously took the conversation a different way. We do have to leave you.
Mm-hmm.
But I will never forget your betrayal. I will never forget how...
He's not the only one.
You treated Wilner better than you treated me today.
Shai, would you like to hear some of the tweets that are coming in right now?
Yeah, sure.
Kay writes in and says, "The only thing Sid wants to swim in is plum sauce." Scott writes in and says, "The only time Sid's name and race should be in the same sentence is if you include the words 'to the buffet' at the end." Luap writes in and says, "Sid's form of transportation during the race," and then provides a gif of a dude getting into an ambulance.
Ha ha ha.
Sid, Twitter has been way meaner to you than I was. I just spoke a little truth. You know that I've supported you on some other issues, but sometimes you got to speak the truth. Sometimes you got to tell people the things they don't want to hear.
Don't make me read the well-done steak tweets that came in, too.
All right, always giving us the meat and potatoes of Jay's camp. Shai Davidi. Shai,
thanks, buddy.
Thanks, friend.
Take care, fellas.
If you think Shai Davidi ripped into Sid Sixero, Brian Burke is up next.
Oh, my God.
Right here.
God.
Tim and Sid.
Oh.
Timing's everything. Time for Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid.
Oh, yeah. It's time for real sports talk with Tim McCallum and Sid Sexero.
Hour on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and a half hour on Sportsnet ahead of Hockey Central tonight. We'll catch up with Kenny Smith from TNT in just a little bit as the NBA returns with six games on the schedule this evening.
First, let's do that hockey. Brian Burke will join us in the studio in just a second. Get you caught up to some news first before we bring Burke in here, because we got to make him wait and sit over there before we put the chair in and stuff.
I think he's cool with it.
You think so?
No,
I don't know. Connor McDavid was back on the ice today, skating at Oilers practice. He will go on their three-game road trip that starts Sunday and may return during that trip. Eight games on the ice tonight. Habs in Washington, Jets in Ottawa, while the Leafs host the Penguins ahead of tonight's game. John Tavares, Zach Hyman, Coach Sheldon Keefe talked about the pressures of playing in Toronto in times like these.
It's an additional challenge, and there is noise and attention, but that's part of the beauty of being here, is that people care.
Oh, I mean, the highs are high and the lows are low in a city like this. I think, if you listen to the media, that is, it's great playing in Toronto because everybody cares.
Well, I think, you know, you can see it here this morning, so it's certainly different. But the biggest thing, I think, for me personally, it's just trying to be myself. I don't think because of all that I should change in the way I approach the game or the way I think about it. I'm as driven and want to win as bad as I have since I started playing the game.
We are joined now by Brian Burke for Hockey Talk, brought to you by Boston Pizza. Join us every Saturday for Hockey Night in Canada at Boston Pizza. Burkey, how you doing?
You know, Boston Pizza has a really good kids menu. My kids used to love it. They have a coloring book and really good kids options. I'm not a paid endorser. I don't do endorsements. But when my kids were younger, they used to love to go to Boston Pizza.
You don't do any, was that a conscious decision at some point in time?
Yeah, I just don't do them.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, not even way back in the day, ever?
No.
Or was it like someone screwed you and you're like,
No, I don't do them. If people see me on TV, I'm talking about my team or one of my charity things, or now I'm working. But
right.
No, I don't do them.
Okay.
Like if a tie company came up to Brian Burke and said, we like how you don't do up ties. It's kind of cool. You made it cool. Like, that's not, like, we'll offer you a solid $20 a tie.
I have been offered to do endorsements before because people, mainly for grouchy type of products, I'm guessing. But
what do you mean grouchy type of products? What do you classify as a grouchy type of product?
No, I got turned one down last couple months ago to do something. I don't do them. I don't like them.
Sid's asking grouchy type products because he wants to know and he'll go
so
try
I
and
swoop in and take your ish is what I want.
He wants to mow your lawn.
By the way, the Body Break people are bullying me online. Have you heard about this?
No.
I'm getting bullied online by fit people, and I don't like it.
Sixero, listen, here's what happened, Berkey, and you can react to this as you wish. Two legends of the fitness game in Canada, both TV and online, Hal Johnson, Joanne McLeod of Body Break, heard Sixero mouthing off as he is wont to do. You've done it before where you text in. They tweeted into the show and said, challenge you to a race anytime. And dude's been shooting his mouth off ever since, even talking about an Ironman.
That's really dumb.
I'm getting coached up here today. I'm getting GM'd up. All right, so we'll save that discussion a little later on. They're sending pictures of like how fit they are. That's what's really concerning me right now. Joanne McLeod is sending in a picture. She looks like the Terminator.
They do this thing called exercise.
I'll show you, Berkey. Look, honestly, like Joanne.
She does not look like the Terminator. I don't even have to look. She might be the lady.
Joanne looks like she.
Maybe the lady in the Terminator.
She was sculpted like as a Greek god of some sort. Like I can't.
She's clearly a woman. I don't think it's a Terminator.
No, I'm just saying she's in tremendous physical condition. She and looks I'm just, like I'm chirping from behind a mic.
Who's the actress from the Terminator?
Oh, I know who you're talking. Linda Hamilton. Linda Hamilton.
Yeah, she looks like Linda Hamilton, maybe, right. But not like the Terminator.
No, okay.
Don't be mean to her on.
You know
on
what
air.
I'm trying to say. She looks like a machine that can do bodily harm upon you because she's in such physical condition.
Wonderful.
You know what I'm trying to say.
You should get out of this conversation.
In every way, shape, and form,
yes.
Really. Yeah.
I'm used to this lack of support.
Just bow down.
I'm fine with it.
Bow down to the gods that are Body Break.
All right, so let's shift gears. Did Brian Burke as a GM like the deadline or not like the deadline?
I never did much at the deadline. I did a couple deals, but to me, and I'll show my age here, but you remember the blue light specials at Kmart?
Oh, yeah.
So a product would go on sale and a blue light would go on and all these shopping carts would converge on this one section for toothpaste or sunscreen or whatever it was. And that's what the deadline reminds me of, these shopping carts banging against each other for this limited amount of product. And I really believe, and I checked again, with the NHL, they are only awarding one Stanley Cup. I checked.
Right.
And so you got 14, 15, as many as 20 teams are going to make deals at the deadline in an effort to improve their team. In my mind, there's seven legitimate contenders, maybe fewer, but there's seven that can at least thump their chest and say we're in the hunt. And a whole bunch of teams are going to make deals. And one thing that's changed since I became a manager in 1992 is guys make deals now just to get in. And they'll admit they're doing it just to get in. And that's something, when I first started, that's something you never do. Unless you were in contention, the deadline, you were kind of a seller most of the time. So I never did much to the deadline. I never liked it. I tried to do my deals well in advance of the deadline. That's why I like what Kyle did with the goalie.
I've heard you say that before, I do my work before the deadline. But can you improve your team in the middle of the season to the point where you could go from, you know, good to great, or from maybe outside the seven that you're talking about to legit contender?
Yeah, but I think you overpay by not doing it earlier. I think you overpay. The prices, they're very steep this year anyway, so even the guys that get out ahead of it are paying through the nose. But I think the prices aren't going to go down until the very end, so it's a weird dynamic. I remember we were trying to trade Mike Camilleri in Calgary, and we set the price internally. We weren't going to do it unless we got first-round pick. And then we realized the market wasn't materializing because Ryan Kessler was moving, and he wouldn't move. So right. We had to drop the price. We told teams the night before. We consciously said, we'll do it for a second. We ended up keeping him. We only got offered a third for him, and I really liked having Mike on my team. So we dropped the price, got no takers anyhow, and then decided, okay, rather than make a crappy deal, let's keep him and see if we can re-sign him. And we tried to and didn't. But to me, the prices are not going to go down between now and Sunday night. And I think the first team that steps up, I'll give you an example. So you take the Tampa deal for Coleman. So it's a first-round pick and a top prospect, an elite prospect in Nolan Foote, who was a former first-round pick. So essentially two first-round picks. But Coleman's not a rental. That's a hockey deal. He's got a year left on his deal, and he's really going to help their team. To me, it changes the competitive edge a little bit. I already had them as the best team, but clearly now, because they've got depth now if there's an injury. So clearly now I give them a little edge on Boston and Washington in the East. So I thought that was a great deal, but that's expensive. Two first-round picks, are you kidding me?
Right.
So that price tag that the Rangers are looking for Chris Kreider, they're asking for that package plus an asset plus a conditional asset. So it's not two assets. They want a first, a top prospect, another pick, which will be no lower than a second, and a conditional pick if you re-sign him. And that price is not going to drop before Sunday night.
Hmm. Brian Burke here on Tim and Sid. Does Kyle Dubas do anything else?
I don't talk to Kyle much. I like Kyle, but they don't deal with the media that cover the team that much, at least not with me.
Yeah.
But I sense from talking to other GMs, yes, he's been active working the phone. He's trying to do some things. The Mulligan pickup is interesting. I don't think it addresses specifically what they needed to address, but I think he's a good player. I think it's a useful piece. I just don't think it's going to solve what ails them.
I suggested yesterday that if what solves what ails them is what everyone thinks it is, and defense, a little bit of toughness, you know, a little bit of attention to detail work. Is that something you do in the off? Like, can you do that now and address the things that might be the problem with this team long term? Or is that something you do in the off season?
I think it's both, but I think they have to try to deal with it now. And I'm sure Sheldon Keefe's watching this saying, thanks, Captain Obvious.
Right.
You know, we haven't talked about any of that stuff, like minimizing turnovers. We haven't talked about any of it. So, of course, they've talked about it.
Yeah.
They've probably worn out the projector in the film room, and again, showing my age. but this is a case where, and it's a cliche, but it's true. Offense is inspiration, and defense is perspiration.
Right.
This requires, number one, that they work harder. Second is the mental part of it, which is, okay, working harder is great, but you got to work smart, attention to detail. But to give you an example, so they let the defenseman go whenever they want to go, right? So they get possession of the puck. The offside, say the right defenseman has it. Say Trevor Hall has it. The offside defenseman, his partner, immediately starts to advance up the ice. And we want him to do that. Everyone does it. Difference is, if there's a sign of trouble that it might be a turnover, on my teams, I want that guy to stop right where he is and stay right where he is and see who recovers possession of the puck. And I don't think they do that. They continue thinking, well, we might get the puck. Well, now you got a 3-on-2 or a 3-on-1. It's mental things. It's like on the forecheck, you want the third forward to stay above the puck. And when he sees a chance that they might get the puck, sometimes they cheat. And now puck pops out, they don't get it, and now there's an outnumbered attack the other way. It's a mental state saying, I'm not going to gamble on the side of offense. I'm going to make sure that I'm covering my defensive responsibilities. And the players owe the coach that. If he's talking to them about that, they owe him to make that adjustment. I think it's small adjustments can make big differences on this group. You go back a month ago when they were winning, you know, playing what I call beer league hockey. And, the beer league theory, I'm not making fun of how they play. I'm saying it's a mentality. Okay, so we're playing beer league hockey. We win 11-10. They got to buy the beer. Do we care that they got 10 goals? No. So, and that's almost like they beat New Jersey 8-4. I mean, really? 8-4, you think that's going to work in the playoffs? So players have to make a mental adjustment here and do more buying in. The physical side of it scares me that they're not big enough or gritty enough. I think Clifford helps. I really like him. But they don't have to be bigger to avoid some of the mistakes they're making now. They've got to make adjustments.
Right. Brian Burke in studio. You have been in front of the MLSE board. Tim and I haven't. You've been in those meetings.
Yeah, the last one didn't go so well.
No. But I'm a big picture
they
generally.
They still let you speak after it.
Yeah, true. No. Can you in any way take us into what that meeting would feel like if the Leafs don't make the playoffs with the salaries being what they are this year? What will the reaction be internally?
Well, I don't think there's going to – I don't know what pressure there will be, and I don't want to speculate on that. We'll do that after the season.
Fair enough.
You know, because I hope these guys get in. And I know people say, oh, you don't like the Leafs because they fired you. Well, I got fired by more than one team.
I mean, it's a lot of teams to hate.
Yeah, I mean, so it's not – I'm a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
I have 4 season tickets. We're a rights holder. No one would do better than Sportsnet if they make the playoffs and win a round or two. So I would like to see them make the playoffs, and I'm not going to speculate on what might happen if they don't, but I will answer that. I'm not ducking the question. I will answer it at the appropriate time. Counselor.
Fair enough. I think that's the aspect of this.
You can't manage that way, though. Like, Kyle can't.
No, you agree.
Kyle can't manage for fear of what might happen if he fails. You do that, you start putting a safety net under what you do, you're dead anyway.
Right, and that's why I think a lot of guys get caught up in deadlines, because they are thinking about that.
Yeah, there's no question.
Yeah.
No question. If you're on your fifth year and that one deal can get you in, that second round pick that's gone isn't going to matter to you if you're not here.
Right.
So it's the same thing where guys do long-term deals. And I've had GMs say to me when they do a seven-year deal, I'm like, you're going to choke on the last 3 years of that deal. And he said, I ain't going to choke on the last 3 years of that deal. Somebody else is going to choke on the last three years of that deal.
So Sixero and I, at the start of this show, were talking PhD, and I was saying pride, hustle, desire. If that's what you think can get you into the postseason, then you've got to show that over the next little while. If it's more than that, then I don't know what they do either at the deadline or in the offseason. You think that pride, hustle, desire, that all those intangibles can get them into the post and smarts?
Yeah, some hockey intellect, some mental adjustments. And they've got good leadership. John Tavares is a good captain. They've got good people that play here. They're good kids.
Yeah.
They're just, their focus is wrong right now.
Right.
They're not focused on playing the right way. And it's a cliche and people hate it, but they say, you got to play the right way. That means something to hockey players. Playing the right way means getting pucks deep, going and retrieving them, maintaining your defensive position when you're supposed to, back-checking hard, finishing checks. There is a right way to play, and teams that play the right way win more games than they lose. Watch the Edmonton game last night against Boston. There's two teams right now that are playing the right way, and it was tough to get any open ice there. It was tough to score. It was tough to do anything fancy. And those are the games that the Leafs don't do well in right now. Right.
No one goes to the pond and flips it in.
Yeah.
That's not in your mentality, but everyone does it because they know there's a time and a place.
Earlier in the show, we had a mashup of some of the quotes that have come out of the Leafs room in the last 48 hours. It's been unique. What's the one quote to you, Brian, that kind of, when you heard it, you thought, oh, okay, we're here now? Like, what was the most unique thing you heard?
I like Jake Muzzin, his comments. I think it was yesterday where he said we have to, and it was a couple games ago too, I think after the Buffalo game maybe, he said, you know, we like an easy game. We're a team that likes an easy game. We can't like an easy game. And I thought that was good soul searching in public. Right. You know, like we gotta play harder and smarter, play the right way. And again, it sounds like a cliche, but to hockey players, it's not. Play the right way means something to a hockey player. They're not playing the right way. I thought that was telling. I thought Mitch Marner saying we need to work harder, that would enrage season ticket holders. Say, well, for $10 million or $11 million, I don't get that anyway. I can understand a night when you don't have your hands clicking, but I don't get the hard work as part of the guarantee. It's not built in to my ticket price. But I thought it was a kid being honest. And he said, we need to work harder. I liked it. I don't like it, but I like that he was. I like the honesty of the commentary. It all doesn't amount to a hill of beans unless they make some adjustments, unless they mentally bear down to playing a better defensive game. The turnovers are like, I showed seven after the first period the other night. The score sheet said four. I showed seven, and we didn't even show them all.
Right.
And I'm like, who did the score sheet?
You didn't have time.
It was in Pittsburgh. No, who did the score sheet? Right. Some guy from Toronto did the score sheet.
Before we let you go, and we're running out of time here, I want to talk a little bit because as you were speaking about what the Toronto Maple Leafs need to do, I was thinking about the Edmonton Oilers game last night. And listen, we're not about moral victories in professional hockey.
That was a moral victory.
But they played them pretty damn tough, and they played them the way you're going to have to play in the postseason. And to be 3-1-1 without McDavid has to be uplifting to the rest of that team.
I agree. Yeah. And I do believe there are moral victories in hockey. I do believe there's some losses you can build off. I sent Mike Smith a text after the game, said, you were outstanding tonight. They were terrible in the first period. They were sleepy. The second period, they took over the game. They started hitting, forced some turnovers. Third period, I'd give 60-40 to Edmonton, but it was a really good game to watch.
Yeah.
And so to me, the Leafs should watch that game tape and say, look at these guys. Like Marchand picking off pucks in the neutral zone, back-checking to the net. It's a mindset. It's an awareness and a mindset and a commitment that I don't see right now. Right. And I think they can fix it.
You saw it in Edmonton.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brian, before we let you go on the Sportsnet promo for our trade deadline coverage, I noticed that they had you say the on Sportsnet line that has become now world famous throughout Earth. And
hold on a second. Have you seen the Sportsnet promo? Yeah, you.
Yeah, might I've seen it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Thank you for that. I don't want to... would you be mad if I ran back your specific part of this, or would you like me to move on because I respect you slash am afraid of you?
That you're going to throw
out? No, you can show it.
Okay,
throw
so right for those hook. That haven't heard or seen this, Brian Burke's Oscar award-winning cameo in the trade deadline promo goes like this.
It's on Sportsnet.
Ladies and gentlemen. A, how many takes did it take?
That's the only one.
Your one take wonder? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
One take?
But they wanted to do it, because I don't like stuff like that, right? Yeah, they know that. So they actually shoot at me saying, please don't make me say it.
And then I did it.
I don't know why they didn't run That's it, but I said, idea. Don't make me say it.
Yeah.
So I did about 10 takes of that. Please don't make me say it. Don't make me say it. I don't want to say it. And then the last one was, it's on Sportsnet, and that's the one they used. I wanted them to use the other ones.
That's a great idea.
Sid and I have learned that if you do what they want you to do, no matter what, it will appear in the promo. Like, if you do the little shoving back and forth that they always want him and I to do, even if it's a joke, they'll find a way to put it in the promo.
Yeah. Well, they have to promote this show.
Can you? Let's go to break. And you saw that on Sportsnet. Brian Burke, thank you very much. We're going to talk more sports and stuff, and I'm getting bullied by body break.
I want to go home.
There's so much going on right now.
Can I go home?
No, you're going to stay.
It's on Sportsnet.
Welcome back to Tim and Sid on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Thanks again to Brian Burke. Always enjoy when Burke comes by.
I don't know if we thank Brian Burke this time around.
Why not?
Because he murdered you, and then he murdered the show on the way out. Like, he started by absolutely tearing you a new one on how you shouldn't be going anywhere near Joanne McLeod, Howe Johnson, or running in any way, shape, or form. And then when he finished, when he was done, he just murked the whole show.
Listen, if I'm making a list of people who murked me today, it's Body Break 1.
Body Break 1, yeah.
And anyone associated with Body Break.
Well, all Body Break did was challenge you to a race.
And I didn't appreciate it.
Okay.
Shai Davidi 2.
Shai Davidi 2.
Shai Davidi walked into the show like he owned the place, right? And he's already looped. It's like a week into camp, and Shai Davidi's had enough. Brian Burke is 3. Dagan's the worst whisperer I've ever heard in my life. We're sitting here with Brian Burke and Dagan, who I still have to ask about that 157 pounds of marijuana story from the Cleveland Browns offensive lineman. Like, for some reason,
we'll
Dagan's,
do that and what we missed.
Dagan's whisper is like a gentle, it's like it's the guy from Extreme singing More Than Words. It's way louder than it should be. So I'm offended by what you did today, Dagan. And Burke is like maybe a 5 or a 6. I think Burke treated me nicer than most people.
Love you. Not the words I want to hear from you. All I want you. Close your eyes and just reach out your hand and help me. Hold me close, don't ever let me go. More than words.
Dagan
was doing an improv.
You know why? There's 150 pounds of weed left after Dagan's over.
Dagan came over and performed the improv exercise where you don't know the words.
I was in full flight. He had no idea.
You know when Saturday Night Live, when they sing the song and they just look at each other's lips. And when they sing,
and my dad said what? That's what he did?
That's what Dagan was doing.
All right. We got to...
Did someone tell you to come in? Oh, okay.
Yeah. We have no time for the DeBrusque thing now. I've wasted all the time. We'll do it what we missed. Jake DeBrusque and Louis DeBrusque did a heartwarming interview ringside prior to the Bruins and the Oilers game last night.
It's a wonderful tease. You're just setting it up for
later.
So
we'll do it we'll do it before we're off the air here at the top of the clock. Kenny, hey, Burke.
That's why I made fun of you guys.
And that's yeah.
Brian Burke leans in.
Burkey just said, that's why I made fun of you guys.
Yeah. He
just said, that's why you get hair on your chest when I leave the room.
Can we see Dagan not knowing the words quickly one more time? I missed it.
Wait, you want to divert from Burke saying you're a...
More than words. Morning word.
He's looking at me. It's like watching the Leafs defend. Oh. Time to say goodbye. And it couldn't have come early.
148 pounds left.
Oh, my goodness. We'll send it to Hockey Central, which is coming up right here on Sportsnet. Carolyn Cameron, Natalie Spooner, they're watching right now in horror. They will be followed by Flyers in the Jackets. Later, Lightning in Vegas. Alec Martinez makes his Golden Knights debut. Sportsnet 1 NBA is back, and we continue on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590. The Fan in about 60 seconds.
Morning word.
Welcome back to Tim and Sid Coast to Coast to Coast on Sportsnet Radio and TV. We flipped over 360 and 590 for the real ones. Jimmy the Greek writes in and says, Extreme was awesome! Exclamation point and or mark. Good job, guys! Exclamation point and or mark. I will leave out the rest of them, Sid, that say something like, never need to sing more than words in public. Running out of material, guys. Hashtag please don't sing. And Whiskey, who says, stop singing, dot, dot, dot. Please stop singing, dot, dot, dot. Stop.
First off, I can sing.
Dot, dot, dot.
I can sing, so suck on it. I am way talented in the arts of the singing.
Well, you are.
I will continue to sing.
Prime, please don't sing again. Pretty please.
Shut up, Prime.
Are you referring to singing Despacito in Spanish as you being able to sing?
You were in the room, Jack. You know full well.
I know.
You know full well that should earn me a Juno nomination.
But were you in the room as well?
I actually had an out-of-body experience.
Because I don't know if you know
this. I was somewhere in the clouds watching.
As you were singing, I may or may not have been laughing a little bit.
I heard you. I heard the McAuliffe cackle.
Right.
Which there should be a parody Twitter account of. It's Tim and Citizen. Someone needs the McAuliffe Cackle Twitter account up and running. It's been way too long. Tim McAuliffe notoriously has had the best laugh in Canadian broadcasting, followed shortly by the legendary Greg Sansone, longtime friend of you and ours.
Yeah.
Greg still has the best laugh I've ever heard. Tim McAuliffe's right up there with some of the best laughs I've ever heard.
But Sansone's like you rarely got on air.
Belly
but
laugh.
Off right? air? Yeah. Oh, my God. The type of laugh that makes everyone else laugh.
Yes. It was just...
You know what I mean?
Infectious is how you call it.
Kenny Smith is about a minute away from joining us. Do you want to hear how good you were singing Despacito?
I've heard this a million times. No, I don't want to hear this.
Okay, fine.
Okay, fine. Play it.
Just not play.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I present to you Sid Sixero, paying up his bet. Despacito in Spanish?
I've got to look down. It's in Spanish.
Oh, dear God. You're in trouble.
Ay, Fonzie. Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. Si, sabe que la librería son mirante. Never had a shot.
Tengo que bailar contigo.
What? I hate you so much.
I hit a groove here.
The Astros can hit a trash can for that series, I guess.
Yes.
See?
How much time's left
before you hit the groove?
Watch for Dagan to start dancing.
All right, I got it.
All right.
Dagan starts getting into it, and that was a year and a half ago after you lost another bet to your boy, Tim McAuliffe.
Yeah, the Astros kind of cheated in that series. Kenny the Jet Smith, who I believe, unfortunately, may have heard and seen a bit of what we were just playing here on Tim and Sid. Kenny, were you? Did we subject you inadvertently to any of that? And what? And do you need more context? Because you might need more context.
I probably, even if I got more context, wouldn't understand why he did it. Why he did it. But the most appealing thing to that whole environment was the cameraman was dancing mm-hmm. with your singing. Mm-hmm. So obviously, no matter how bad you were, you still had you make the people move.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Dagan.
The highlight. Shout out Dagan. Our cameraman's name is Dagan. You have made his life, Kenny, with that shout out.
Yeah, you were making a move. I'm like, I was surprised, man.
All right. He surprises us every day.
Sixero's got that nod factor, Kenny. Who knew? Who knew?
And in disapproving nod? What kind of nod are you talking about?
I don't know.
Kenny, it's great to see you. It's great to see basketball back. I know we're going back now a few days, but wow, that fourth quarter in the All-Star game Sunday night. I mean,
never mind the dunk competition. It was a wonderful weekend.
In a word, how do you sum up that weekend in Chicago?
It was the best in about a decade. Wow. I think overall, between performances, hosting the city, everything that Chicago offered, I say it was, the best in the 10 years. And guys actually wanted to be the all-star amongst all-stars for the first time. Like, a lot of times you think they're playing, but they're not playing to show that they're the best player in the world. And I think at that time, we saw some of the best offensive players in the world, but more importantly, we saw that, wait, these are the best defensive players in the world, too.
All right, the behind-the-scenes reaction to Kyle Lowry taking charges was what?
Oh, wonderful. You know, he's trying to win. Like, it was the first time that you said these are the best defenders in the world, not just the offensive players. And doing that just, you know, I think highlighted what the weekend was supposed to be about, because, you know, that defense is a skill too. And we forget about that in the All-Star game, and we forget about it over the weekend. We have a dunk contest. We have a three-point contest. We have a game that, you know, had been getting into the 180s, you know. But now we're talking about defense as well. That is a big – that is an All-Star skill to have. And it was on display for the first time in a decade.
Kenny the Jet Smith of TNT and Inside the NBA. By the way, the Hall of Fame Inside the NBA crew, congratulations, Kenny, honestly, for you and Ernie and everyone on this set. Did you see that coming? Did you know that was going to happen?
No, they told us while we were out there. So I was debating whether to come on this show today because I'm so large now. I was like, true. Should I come on? I'm in the Hall of Fame. These guys are just running races and singing Spanish songs. I think I'm a little bit beyond
hold
that.
Hold on. Like Inside the NBA does anything different.
No. We don't, you know, but we do it. We do it for the fame, the Hall of Fame.
Right. Oh, again. Again,
shots fired.
And for those watching and listening, we're being serious. The Basketball Hall of Fame announced during All-Star Weekend that Inside the NBA, Kenny Smith and Ernie and Shaq and Charles Barkley and that incredible team, that production team that works with them week in and week out, are Hall of Fame worthy. They're going to the Basketball Hall of Fame. So I wasn't kidding when I said that. Again, a huge congratulations. And I love how you guys congratulated.
Oh, I do have something for you guys, though.
Go ahead.
Hey.
This was pretty big. I'm in the airport in Chicago, and I'm landed, and I'm going getting my bags, and the lady comes up to me and goes, "Can I get your autograph?" I'm like, "Yo, you know, that's not unusual. It's happened before. I watched you on the show in Canada.
Wow,
You're the guy from Canada, aren't you?" She didn't know that I was with TNT. She recognized me for being on the show with you guys.
Yeah, who's big time now, Kenny?
I was like, I cannot wait to tell these guys this next week, man.
That's a great story.
Oh, it's funny.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, you come north of the border. We got you covered.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
And some of the islands.
Indeed.
Earlier today, we were talking about the Eastern Conference and how the Raptors in their final 27 games of the season, fit into the Eastern Conference. And Bo, Sid and I full stopped on the Milwaukee Bucks. Are they getting enough credit for what they did going into this All-Star break? For the 46-8, for the best defensive team in the league, the third best offensive team in the league. Like, do you think they need more, or is this just let's wait and see what they do in the postseason?
Well, I think because they played so well last year in the regular season, and even, you know, they got to the conference finals, but then how they lost in Milwaukee was wow, they could be stopped pretty easily if you have certain tools. Now we have to see if those they cannot be stopped easily with those, you know, knowing what their tool is. They were able to guard the paint against Giannis and make them a perimeter team. And we'll see if that's a possible outlet, not just for a team like Toronto, but anyone else could do that.
Kenny the Jet Smith here on TNT, or on TNT, on Tim and Sid. He is from TNT.
We wish we were on TNT.
See, now
TNT.
That's just
a different paycheck.
I wouldn't have got recognized if it wasn't for y'all.
Kenny, which first...
Sid's projecting.
Which first seed in a conference is more important, West or East this year? What's the more vital number one seed?
Oh, West. Yeah, West. Because it's not the first round that you need it. You need it in the second and third round. Because... you don't want to have a, you know, even let's say 3-6, like, is important. You know what I mean? Or 4-5 is important for the Rockets. Like, I think all of those first round higher seeds, those are going to be important rounds, because other than 1-8, you know, 2-7 and everyone else, Luka Doncic 7 and Porzingis, that's a tough out for a lot of people. So I would say, without question, the number one seed for the Lakers is important as it goes down the line.
I want to know, I know you've been high on the Houston Rockets for most of the year. Do you think they can really win in the postseason playing the small ball lineup?
I don't think they could do it this small, no.
No.
I think they could have done it, or even if a guy like Tyson Chandler was, you know, 2 years younger, they could do it. But I don't think they could do it playing this small. Because the game slows down for sure to the point where you can shoot 60 to 70% in the 2-point area and kill the analytics. And then the analytics wouldn't matter. Because if you're shooting 7 for 10, you're getting 14 points from 2-point land. And to take 10 shots, you would have to shoot 6 for 10 for threes, or I mean 5 for 10 for threes to be better. And you can't shoot 50% from three. The Rockets haven't been able to do that.
Right.
So, but they, I think you can make 7 out of 10 against their little lineups.
Kenny the Jet Smith here on Tim and Sid. Kyrie Irving is done for the year. Shoulder situation that has now been confirmed by the team. Shams has been on that story all day.
Yeah.
How do you sum up what has happened this specific season for Brooklyn, Kenny? And what is the feeling with that team going into next year with, you would assume, a healthy Kevin Durant and assume maybe a healthy Kyrie Irving?
It's the same as it looks like last year's team now. It's just, this is last year's team, and now the free agency starts next year. Like, it's the exact same thing. Without Kevin Durant, without Kyrie, it's the exact same team. They're good enough to make the playoffs, but they're not good enough to go past the first round. And, you know, that's it. It's done. So this is the exact same team as last year.
Final question, Kenny. And I know we reserve this question closer to playoff time, but, you know, we have a feel on how this season might be going. Do you think you will be making trips to Toronto this spring on the regular? Is it going to be that kind of a spring for Kenny the Jet Smith?
Well, I will say this. We'll have our reservations made at Marble Restaurant with our guy, Peter.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We will be there in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'll say that.
Ooh, all right. That piqued some Raptor fans' interest across the country. I'll say that.
Yeah. Especially when he left it there.
Yep, he did. Left it there.
I'm not going further than that.
No,
and Peter still will not have a voice either way.
Kenny, we're glad. Hopefully the fame is not too much for you that we have given you.
Yes.
Hopefully you are not bombarded with Canadians who love your analysis.
Well, there's just people outside my studio right now waiting for me in autographs. I'll be out in a second, guys. I'll be out in a second.
Just living the life. Kenny the Jet Smith. Thank you, Kenny.
All right, brother.
There is Kenny the Jet Smith, TNT Sports, inside the NBA. Hall of Fame.
The whole show going to the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame.
I know that contributors have gone in a bunch of different Hall of Fames. It seems like, and I don't know this for sure, I'm just going to say it off the top of my head. Usually I like to know it before I say it. However, has a whole show ever gone into a Hall of Fame?
I don't think so. It was quite the moment. Also, Tim, side note, mm-hmm. Michael Wilbon also got in during All-Star Weekend in Chicago. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen the video, it was slightly staged, obviously, because somebody recorded it. But the call was real that Michael Wilbon received, one of my favorite people in the history of sports media.
Yeah.
And for him to go into the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame in the journalism wing was just, if you haven't seen the video online of him taking that call, please do it, because if you love Wilbon at all, it'll bring a smile to your face.
And it was touching, just like the start of
Why We
You've been asking for it for the entire show, Sid Sixero. Louis DeBrusque, after getting off the air with Tim and Sid, had a much more meaningful interview a little later on with his son at his workplace, both of them working, one of them playing for the Bruins, the other one doing the Oilers broadcast. Here's how it went.
Well, hey, kiddo, it's nice to have you home for a couple of days. I mean, Edmonton kid growing up in this city, still special for you to come back home and play?
Yeah, it always is. It's nice to see the friends and family, and kind of get sick of my dad's hunting story, so that's why I think it's a little sketchy.
All right, you guys are on a roll right now, playing another team that's on a roll. What do you got to do to keep this thing going?
Yeah, I just got to stay consistent, and, you know, we've been rolling four lines pretty well, and just play our game. I think we're trying to build our game every game throughout this year, so... just keep doing what we're doing and try to limit their offensive chances.
What's this? I heard you were chirping me about my hair today.
You got tough flow, I'm not going to lie. People are saying that you're copying my hair, so yeah, that's pretty much what that's about.
Well, listen, kiddo, get the feet going. I don't want to have to say bad things about you tonight. Hey, thanks a lot. Good luck, all right, kiddo?
Thanks,
all right.
I'm getting emotional.
That's awesome.
I'm getting emotional, but here's where I'm torn.
How many guys does he call kiddo?
Kiddo. I'm gonna make that a thing around here. Hey, kiddo, what's going on? Here's my issue, though.
Okay. Oh, you got an issue?
I got an issue.
Of course you do.
I got an issue.
Go ahead.
And Louie, wherever you are, I love you. But.
Yeah, don't.
Hold on. I gotta say it. Jake went pointless in 18 minutes last night. Does he wave off his dad next time he's in Edmonton for the pre-skate interview?
You think dad mush son?
I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
Like, you know. Hockey players are, you know,
superstitious bunch. Yeah,
they're not superstitious all the time, but sometimes they're a little stitious. And if I'm Jake DeBrusque, as much as I love that moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the cat in the cradle and the silver spoon.
No, don't do you with no kids? Just you need to stop talking.
I have right a cat. What do you mean? I don't have kids.
Same thing.
They're called fur babies. Deal with it.
Same thing.
Okay?
The NFL.
Ever heard
has
a fur baby?
It's not even a dog, man. Like, stop.
Yeah, she bites like
not
a dog.
Not even a dog.
My cat could kick the ass of any dog on the block.
Here's how you know dogs are way better than cats. Every cat owner goes, "My cat's just like a dog." Well, why don't you just get a dog?
My cat poos like a dog.
NFL has speaking of pooping, the NFL has approved a new CBA. That sounds awesome.
Segue.
Sounds great, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The NFL has approved a new CBA, which reportedly expands the regular season to 17 games, adds an extra playoff team in each conference, with the number one seed getting the bye, as was floated in the last couple days. Now, what they do when they approve a new CBA is they send it off to the PA.
Correct.
And say, go ahead, vote. Is there any way the NFL PA looks at 17-game regular season and says yes?
Yes.
You think they're in on this now?
This is a slam dunk, and I'm going to tell you why. It's not because of the 17th game. It's not because of the extra playoff team, which, by the way, makes wild card weekend three games on Saturday and Sunday.
Correct.
No football fan's going to hate that.
No, the football fan will love it.
If you care about safety, then you're SOL. But why not add another game to everyone's schedule at full tilt? the players, and they're saying it might, the vote might happen tomorrow with the player reps, all 32 player reps.
Mm-hmm.
The player reps are going to say this, say yes to this, because of how much extra money in the kitty the PA will get. And these NFL guys, right, let's remember, they're not 10-year vets in Major League Baseball coming out, pitching one inning and going back to the dugout.
Right.
Like average length of a career in the NFL is 4 or 5 years.
It's less than that, but go ahead.
Is it less than that?
Yeah, a lot less than
I believe that
less
completely.
Than 3 years, yeah.
With that said, did you hear the dollar figure that the PA is going to get cut in this proposal?
I did not hear the dollar
figure. An extra $5 billion.
Okay.
So I think tomorrow you might get, maybe not unanimous, but pretty damn close. I think we're going to have a brand new CBA. We're going to have more football. We're going to have a better wild card weekend. And it's just completely unsafe, but no one cares.
So $5 billion, maybe ratifying that would stop our next story. Soon-to-be former Montreal Alouette receiver Quan Bray and soon-to-be former Browns offensive lineman Greg Robinson were arrested in the El Paso area with 157 pounds of marijuana in their truck. Once again,
wow.
They were arrested with 157 pounds of marijuana.
That's a lot of devil's lettuce.
In their truck. They tried to say that it was only for their own use. Didn't go over well. Do either of them know that you can now buy marijuana legally?
But maybe this was that good-ish. Maybe this was different. What is 157 pounds? Like, contextualize that for me.
That's about half of what you weigh.
You wish. Dagan, how much do you weigh? VP of Technical Officer Tim Insane. How much? You weigh about 160? Come here. Stand next to me.
I thought you were going to say that's Dagan's weekend, the 157, but whatever.
Caravan is around the corner. So basically, they had a human being worth of marijuana in their car.
Yeah. Herbal product, too, right? So that's not like, it's not like if you grabbed it,
right.
Like if you grab a piece of Dagan, that's going to weigh more than.
Like, this is all marijuana.
And careful when you're grabbing pieces of Dagan.
Yeah, grab. Okay. Yeah. No, I learned my lesson.
Okay. Yep.
So again, I'm not versed in the, I'm not Cheech or Chong. I'm not versed in the ways of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Is this Dagan? And I'm just going to ask anyone, you're here. Is that a lot of marijuana? 157 pounds?
It's quite a bit.
How long would it take for you? Hold on a second. I buy 4 bags of Doritos and I have 157 pounds of weed. How long would you, and let's say you binge a couple of shows, right? How long would it take for a person of your size to maybe enjoy that much?
Can I play Dagan's lawyer here?
Counsel, if you'd like to interject.
Do not answer this question.
Just take the fifth?
Based on the grounds of incriminating yourself.
We know what fifth you're taking. Get the hell out of here. Here's my impression of Dagan whispering.
Hey, I got Brian Burke's coffee. Everyone keep it down. They're doing a live interview about the trade deadline. Shh.
The line of the day, by the way, you just buried with that nonsense. We know what fifth you take. That was a great line. Check this out. New Blue Jays catcher Caleb Joseph did his best Neil Peart impression today. Do you think he signed with the Jays just to meet Geddy Lee?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's such a great call. So Caleb Joseph is just, listen, man, I've air drummed like that my whole life. I'm a pretty good air drummer. He's just pounding away at that. You think Reese McGuire likes Rush? I see him in the background. I see him, Nate Pearson.
He had
I see him,
to
Rowdy
rush.
Tellez. I've seen all the Jays.
He had to rush. That much. 157
pounds of weed. That's a lot of weed.
That is a lot of weed.
I don't think I've eaten 157 pounds of anything in my life.
And finally, Sid, do erasers slowly sacrifice themselves because of our mistakes?
Did you ask me if erasers slowly sacrifice themselves because of our mistakes?
That's correct.
That's too deep. If we have 14 seconds, you're going to ask me some deep question like that about old school.
All right, you can answer it tomorrow on Tim and Sid.
Wow.
5 to 7 Eastern, Sportsnet 360 and 590.
Can I get 157 pounds of erasers? Right? Berkey was mean to me, too, today. He was mean.